Hello, Wade Cox here, and welcome to the Ski with Wade podcast. I've been involved with this sport of water skiing for over 40 years now. I was fortunate enough to be a professional, and now I'm a full-time water ski coach. Today's guest and I will be talking about water skiing. We'll also be talking a little bit about travel and maybe a little about life as well. Thanks for joining us today. Ski with Wade, cut more rope. Hey, welcome guys. Ski with Wade podcast number 9. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's been really cool getting all your feedback. This episode is sponsored by skiwithwade.com. And I apologize if you guys have tried to buy merch and you've had any issues with their website. It's been a disaster because I'm not a techie guy. So I'd rather work on your ski at the lake than, my website. But that is a work in progress. I appreciate your patience on that. If you want to check out our tour dates, I am on tour as we speak, and you can check that out at skiwithwade.com. So, hey, I am at this wicked cool place. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. Actually, is it called Queen Creek is the actual address. Santan Lakeside Estates. As the rest of my life, I get to live a privileged life and go to these really, really cool places. And I haven't actually skied in Arizona since 1994 at Crystal Point Estates, right down the road here. So it's brought back a lot of memories, although it's changed a whole bunch. So our first guest of the day is our host, Mr. Brent Eason. Brent, you're from Alaska.
Yes, sir.
Born and raised.
Not born there. I moved there when I was 5 and pretty much lived my whole life.
You saw all you can remember.
Yeah.
And you became a water skier.
Yeah. Yeah. San Diego State.
That's where it started.
Yep. Yep. 1985.
That's very cool. So did you ski in Mission Bay?
Mission Bay. Yep. Every day.
Yeah. Yeah. And so then skiing over across town in the saltwater sort of brought back memories, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're talking about Firebird Lake, which a pro event was there, I think maybe 85, 86. Some of the old timers, Carl Robert, Sammy Duvall, Bob LaPointe, they would remember that. Why the move here? And then are you, you're officially will be moving here?
Yeah, I don't know that I'll ever totally live here. We'll probably go back and forth and do like a few months here at a time and then go back to Alaska maybe for the summer and holidays.
For those of you guys that don't know Brent, he is a ripping slalom skier, was doing exactly what I asked for him to do. So how was your day? How was it?
It was good. Good. Really good stuff with Wade. Yeah. We would do this again for sure.
Actually, your boat driver was one of your buddies, and he's got to go catch a flight. Him and his son, John, who may or not be going to school. We're going to figure that out. So Johnny, you're 16. Is that correct?
Yep.
And where are you from?
We're from Portland, Oregon.
What lake?
Winlock.
You guys ever been to Winlock? You guys got to go check it out. I'll be there in August. And my buddy Travis is there. And my other buddy Jim Hammer with his son Brendan. That's a very cool place to ski, isn't
yep.
it?
Yep.
So where are you thinking about going to college?
I'm definitely thinking here, down at ASU. Maybe Montana State, Colorado. Still kind of looking around.
Like CU?
Yep.
Boulder?
Yep.
Nice. That's where my boss, Dave Wingerter, Soundgarden, is a graduate of CU. So cool, man. I won't keep you. I know you got to catch your flight. I want to catch a word with your dad here.
All right.
So Scott, you skied first today and then you got to jump in the driver's seat. So how was it?
Oh, both were great. I mean, we started off with the fast 28 and by the time I was done, we had slow 32s.
What will you take away from today?
Just cleaning up the gate a little bit, maybe some of the handle hold, maybe some tricks to getting more stacked. I think that really made a big difference. It really made that path a little bit higher, a little bit smoother. I think that'd be my biggest takeaway.
And it's fun to actually have that space, isn't it?
Oh, it was incredible
space. Yeah, to actually get to enjoy your ski ride.
Yeah. I think you said it best. The manufacturers built that ski for that type of ride.
No, that's it. As soon as we're working with what the manufacturer is asking, then it's a way easier gig. Way more fun. Yeah. So next is Miss Pam Guthrie, who we are Facebook friends. And we've been, as soon as I saw her in the dock, I'm like, I've known her forever. And then I'm like, that's got to be Pam. So sure enough, seen you at Nationals all over the country.
That's right.
But first time I got to ski with you.
Yes. Yes. You've been my idol for 25 plus years, probably.
She's got a little bit of an accent. So where is that accent from?
From Kentucky.
And so whereabouts did you grow up there?
On Lake Cumberland, a little town called Albany. Ski on the public lake there on the ski course.
Well, so for you water ski historians, there was a pro tour there in 1986, a year before I really started competing in all the events. I told you earlier, all the Australians loved it because of all the fireworks they could bring back to Florida.
Yes, there's fireworks on every corner.
So did you ski on the public lake there?
At the other end of the lake from where the tournament was held.
Okay.
Yes. That lake's over 50 miles long, so it's a big lake.
Yeah, and so now you winter here at Santan Lakes with your daughter.
Yes, I live here with Dana and Tim in the winter and ski on this beautiful lake and then go back to Kentucky in the summer and ski on Lake Cumberland. Today, thanks to you, I'm improving my ski skills and hopefully, God willing, I'm going to compete in Worlds.
No, that's that. That's what I was just going to ask you. So that's sort of a great, you've already got a great sort of shortish long-term goal. It's at the end of the summer. You got all this time to sort of prep and you mentally have already sort of accepted the challenge that that's what you want.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I hope you do it. It's the neatest deal. I went to the over 35 on up worlds at Jack Travers a few years ago. Just had a blast. It was really neat to see everybody as nervous as I lived.
Right.
For all those years. Just panicking. Oh my gosh, what am I going to start at? You know, what's the wind doing? You know, all of those things.
Right. And I appreciate all your help today with working with me and getting me across the wake better, getting my lean better. And thank you so much.
Well, you're welcome. That's what we talked a lot about was balance, right? Balance. Just being able to be balanced when we do our weight crossing. So your daughter here is Dana. And so she's been your travel companion. I think that's like a really nice deal to have a family member as your travel companion versus trying to have a roommate as your travel companion on the road that snores too loud or whatever. Yeah.
That doesn't mean that she does.
But it's family. You can get away with it.
That's right.
In fact, the one guy I travel with, Chris Paris, at times he snores a bit like I would at times in, he was okay with me beating him with a pillow from the other bed. Like, dude,
throw it at me.
You just got to roll over or something, you know, right? So, Miss Dana, you made this transition to the West Coast.
I did. I was a travel nurse and traveled to California. Then I came here to Arizona visiting my mom. She was working here. And I met my husband here. And
through me?
Through my mom. Hitting it off. He's a fellow water skier as well. And got married, started skiing, built a house on this beautiful lake, and my mom being by our side all the time and skiing with us.
Well, my dad always asked me about the places I go, you know, the people I meet. And this was last summer. We're past year one on this coronavirus deal. He said, "Hey, how's your summer going?" And I said, "Well, it's actually going really, really good, Dad." I said, "Because everybody that's got a lake house is like Elvis Presley cool again. You're like James Dean cool, right? Because, hey, there's only one other person in the boat and we're outdoors. We're not breaking any laws. So, we got to go water skiing." And
lake didn't get shut down. We can still continue.
No, we talked about it in the boat, obviously, this morning earlier about not watching or being so engaged in college or professional sports because everybody's living outdoors again. They're going, you know what? Let's go mountain biking or let's go do that. You know, that sounds like a great idea. So, you're getting to live the dream, like right on middle of a slalom course, huh?
We are here.
It looks like this lady is your neighbor now. Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. I just met Miss Jeannie. What's your last name?
Roar, like a lion.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah. Jeannie Roar. And so did I see you up on top of one of the boathouses down there?
Yes, that's their place.
So okay.
I'm new to the water skiing world of competing. I just started my first competition in 2017. And I went to my first national tournament last year, first time. I'm blessed to have Dana and Pam as friends to where I can ski several days a week. And you mentioned Crystal Point. I ski there as well.
Okay, good deal. So you 4 years worth of tournaments now under your belt. What division are you in?
Women's four.
For those of you listening, if you're going, wow, you know, should I ski a tournament? She never skied a tournament until women's four, and now she's made nationals. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Thanks, man.
Big fist bump. Yeah. So what sort of drew you? Did you ski as a kid?
So I'm an Arizona native, born and raised here, a little bit closer to Las Vegas on the Colorado River. And so I learned to water ski when I was a teenager, but a lot of people call that Yahoo skiing or just going out to make a spray. I never saw the buoys and knew what that was until about 2015, 2016, and thought, what's that? And I want to try that. And so I started, and I learned at Crystal. I made my first pass at Crystal Point, and then became friends with Pam and Dana during the local tournaments here. So, like I said, very blessed that I have a couple of different places to practice, and I just can't get enough of it. I'm like a sponge. So I loved hearing everything you had to say today, and because I'll take every bit of it and apply it and see what works for me. And so I'm very appreciative of that.
Well, thank you. You mentioned making your first pass. That's something you never forget, right?
No.
If you've been in the boat when I've witnessed someone do it, or I sort of helped them through it, yeah, I get ecstatic. I'm both hands over the head screaming. Yes.
Sure.
Oh, no, nothing. I've had people, have full emotional breakdowns in the back of the boat going, I didn't think I could ever do this.
And it just leaves you with wanting more.
And maybe they spent three years or more just to get that first six buoy. So you've progressed at like a unbelievable rate. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks, Wade. Appreciate it very much.
Hey, so next we have a little couple. This is Carter Eaton. This is Mr. Brent's son. He's a collegiate fella going to school nearby, and having your dad have this place ain't so bad, is it?
Not at all. It's pretty nice coming here on the weekends and getting away from Firebird. It's a good lake, but the salt waters could be harmful to your confidence, say that.
So what we're talking about is this lake down the road, and does anyone know the real history on that? It looks like it was a gravel pit, sort of turned into a racetrack.
It's a boat racing oval.
It's a boat racing oval, and then it looks like, does it have a car racing track around, or is it
there's racetracks, a drag strip. It's inside a motorsports park.
So this Firebird Lake that we keep referencing, it's a man-made facility, and it was right over like a salt quarry, basically.
Yeah, there's some sort of deposit from what they put the water on that just makes it really salty. But beyond that, every year they fill it, and the sun bakes the water off and leaves the salt, so it's only getting saltier.
Wow. So if you've ever skied in salt water, you realize it's a completely different endeavor.
Yeah.
Your ski rides much higher in the water, is much more temperamental. So going from such a tough place to ski, coming here, what's that like?
The opener always feels harder. It's a slower lake. It's a comfortably slow lake. And Firebird is so fast and it's hard to ski, but if you're skiing right and you're not pushing it, then it feels great and it's no effort. So that's kind of the first reaction. And then you shorten the rope and you get to the back of the ball on your offside, you realize how hard saltwater is because it just keeps coming through here.
Well, I'm going to brag on my man Carter here because I skied with him yesterday. We did sort of one of my basic sets where I made him run a lot of the same passes over and over again. We may have shortened once, but today at this gorgeous man-made lake facility, we sort of had an agreement. We'd go up the rope. Well, he rips 28, 36. That's 14 meters, 58K for those of you on the other sides of the ponds. So then he rips his 32, he rips his 35, and rips straight through 38 off. That was impressive. How old are you, Carter?
20.
20. And how many nationals have you skied?
Probably 8.
Got some podiums?
Last year was the first one.
Oh, good for you.
So, yeah.
Nice. It's awesome to stand up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a good feeling.
Yeah, very cool. It sort of almost incentivizes you to be back and go,
absolutely.
I'd rather be that guy that gets to look down on those guys on both sides, for that one moment in life, your nose is above everyone else's, So,
yeah.
So, hey, let's talk about, what are you studying in school?
Engineering management.
Nice.
So that is, it's like an industrial engineering degree. And then I take some classes with the business school.
Nice. Good for you.
So, yeah, I like the degree.
And you were a junior?
I'm a sophomore, right?
Sophomore? But same as my son.
I didn't have a nationals this year, so I'm going to have to figure out an extra year.
No, that's what you get for collegially, you get, 6 years to do four, right?
Yeah.
So no, man, you
got to write this out.
Same deal. You do what you did today. That's a spot in that sort of top five podium material, right?
Mm-hmm. I think at collegiate nationals, one or two and a half at 39.1 last year or 2019. So I think you run 38 at that tournament and anything could happen.
Well, what Carter did today that I want to see when someone is going to do their down the rope set is he was able to make his fourth pass. He left, went up, got his opener, nailed it, came back second pass, nailed it. Third pass up at 35 at the 12-meter line. Ran that really, really nice. We shortened it to his fourth pass, and now he's completely warmed up. He's already had three looks at it. A lot of times that fourth look coming back, you're starting to feel completely relaxed. We talked about your heart rate's up, and then it's down, it's up, and it's down. He executed what I wanted to see. He got a good start, and then he managed it well. And that was fun to see. What'd you run? 3:39, right?
If the judge didn't see it, then yeah.
Well, I'm the boat judge and I'm a good guy, so I'll give him the full 3:39. Hey, so let's get your lady friend over here. I hear that you guys started dating like in high school.
Yes.
What is the name of the town you guys are from?
Anchorage.
Anchorage. That's like a big city. Like how many people? 250, 500,000?
Yeah.
Where did you guys ski up there? Did you ski with him up there?
We came down here, I think a Christmas break, and brought her and she skied here for the first time. And then we went home and she hit it hard that summer.
And it was just as cold up there in the summer as here in the winter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's warm-ish, warm-ish.
Warm-ish.
The roughest part is as soon as we get through winter here and it warms up, we go right back home to dry suits. You know, we go through that preseason two times.
Yeah, that's as soon as you get used to the warm water, and then you go back to cold, deep water is similar to the salt water.
Our lake at home is actually, for how cold it is, really, really slow.
Is it a man-made?
No, public lake.
Public lake?
Really pretty, trees all around, and I ski better there than anywhere.
You hear that, guys? All of you say, oh, you can only ski in a man-made. I love it hearing all these public lake stories. That's great. Because that's where I grew up. We were in a public lake, and then... Geez, I didn't see a man-made lake until Bennett's. I'd been skiing a couple years. So let me ask you this. It's Brianna?
Yes.
What are you studying in school?
Business management.
And you are second, third year?
Second
year, same. You guys going to graduate on time? Make your daddies happy?
It's in the books.
Yeah.
I might be a little later.
What about an MBA work after?
I need that fifth year, so definitely.
Yeah.
I'm here on scholarship. So I have to take 15 credits, which means, you know, otherwise I'd just spread it out and get my degree in 5 or 6 and have a lot more fun. But I'm going to probably have to add some schoolwork on that fifth year.
Well, I think you're going to do just fine. Just keep that nice attitude. You're like a little entrepreneur. Yeah. So you're going to do well in life. I see it. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks just so much, guys. We're going to do a little bit more water skiing here today at Santan Lakeside Estates. Thank you guys for hosting me. It's been a really, really cool experience. Hadn't been to Arizona, like I said, for almost 30 years. I'm really old now. So, hey, check it out. Today's sponsor, SkiWithWade.com. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast number 9 in the books now. Check out our website for tour dates and merch. Ski with Wade, cut more rope. That's a wrap this week for Ski with Wade podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to email me at wade@skiwithwade.com or direct message me on Instagram or Facebook with any questions you may have. We'll cut more rope next week. Ski with Wade.